Hey everybody, Jake here. I wanted to give a quick shout out to greenleafgeek.com. They are closing up shop really soon, coming up in October. So head over there right now and try to get some of whatever is left available before it is all gone. Make sure to use Dragon Punch Squad at checkout to get a special discount, and I will see you in the episode. So do you guys think in real life you could take on a bird as big as these things?
No.
No. in real life, if you had like
well, if it's two birds, I'd need at least one stone.
That's true. That's true. And you tie their heads together and
I think I could do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was gonna get the scenario.
Yeah, maybe they would kick me in the chest and like cave my ribs in, I don't know. But
yeah.
I mean, they're known to do that.
Yeah.
Easily, actually.
I was gonna say the idea behind the scenario of like, you know, like what could you take on, you know, is like if you had like a spear, like a Bowie knife, you know, like something you would feasibly have if you like encountered something in the wild.
If I had a Bowie knife, I'm not giving myself too high of a chance there. If I've got a spear, maybe, because those necks are long and those heads move fast.
Yeah.
If you have like a spear, I agree with John on that. The spear would at least, they got a big center of mass that you could go after.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, when you first suggested it, I was like, wait, are we unarmed? Because we're kind of fucked.
Yeah. Right. Usually, like, you can grip pretty well as a human, but
the scale of things that humans can take out goes up really high when you introduce the firearm.
Yes. Yeah, that was why I was not introducing a handgun. But like, what do you think you could feasibly take on in a real-world scenario where you had something as a Bowie knife or a spear?
Literally anything I can pick up and get around, like, its teeth. Because if I can pick up a 50-pound dog and smash it to the ground, I'm winning.
Yo, yeah.
But
I could do a dog with my bare hands.
Not if it was a Mastiff.
Not a Mastiff or, you know, like a
German Shepherd.
Well, German Shepherd, I was also thinking of those Burmese mountain dogs.
Oh, yeah. The
the ones that are, like, 100 pounds plus and are like, you know, go after bears.
Yeah. Right.
My whole thought around dogs is that as long as you can mentally prepare to keep yourself cool when they're biting the fuck out of one of your limbs, I feel like if you can just keep your head level, you should be able to beat them. But I feel like most people, when they're attacked by a dog and it rips into their leg or their forearm, they just freak out.
Yeah, well, like this brings up the Tyson quote, everyone has a plan until they're punched in the face.
Yeah.
You can say that, but then when as your skin's being ripped apart, that's when you're like, oh, shit.
So wait for it to grab the leg, take your Bowie knife, stab it through its head into your own leg.
Yeah. It's now like, part of you. I have been bit very hard by a few dogs and, like, had them hold on to me. And, like, I've been fine. Like, it hurts, but I've always been able to, like, just wrap my arm around their head and like wrench them off me and gain control.
Yeah, well, and, like, one of the main issues, so, like, if you watch people like who are attacked or something like that, like what ends up happening is that the dog does the yanking maneuver and then they try to yank their arm away, and that's how they lose. So it's like you have to go with the thing that's trying to pull you down to get on them. So like you're saying, is that like, if you know in the moment what to do, then obviously you're going to be better set up. But like,
you got to throw a triangle on it, man. Forget it every time.
I mean, pretty much is what you said, though. Yeah, you have to pretty much fall on it and use your weight against it somehow. Because, it's like once you see your flesh being torn away, you're like, this is bad.
Oh, this is bad.
Or, like, you know, it gets into a spot where it tears a tendon and then you can't use your fingers properly. Yeah.
Well, they always say for, like, shark attacks, it's like, go after, like, the nose, gills, or eyes. And it's just like, dude,
if I'm getting thrashed around in the water, I don't know how much I'm going to be cognizant to be able to be like,
yeah,
where's the eye? Give me its eyeball.
So you're saying in the scenario that we have a spear or a knife.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, you're on the road here. You know what I mean? And these things just came out of nowhere.
I still don't feel like I would go on anything much bigger than myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
I mean, these things are the size of castle.
A bear or a gorilla with a spear. I just don't feel like there's going to be much stopping them from killing me. I'm trying to think of like what size of big cat do I think I could handle? Big cats are huge.
That's hard.
I think if house cats were 50 pounds, we'd all be fucked.
Yeah, right.
Well, the thing too with cats is like, well, with dogs, you know, they use their mouth mainly, but cats, the claws get involved and they'll rake you. Anytime, with a mountain lion or something like that, you know, they immediately go, they'll wait until you're turned around,
yep,
then go after you, but then they have their front claws and then they have their back claws and they're just shredding you.
I mean they're peak predators for a reason. Their
claws are like hooks, and what they do is they just like latch on and then they just like drag you down with their weight.
Yeah,
like that'd be awful.
They're also very trained to go after like the neck, because like if you ever watch them, like, you know, if you ever see cheetahs go after like gazelles or whatever in those kind of scenarios, they know how to go for the back of the neck to bite into the spine. So like they're intelligent. That's one of the things. Like dogs and wolves and stuff like that, they nip at heels and they sort of like drag a quarry down. They weigh it down with all the pressure and stuff like that. Cats just go at you.
Yeah,
and they have no fear after a while.
No.
So you're like, oh shit.
Literally anything in the chimp family bodies any human.
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah, but don't
be like the idiots online. They're like, you know what? I think I could take a chimp in a fight. And I'm like,
No,
you cannot.
Excuse me?
Just Google hairless chimp. And they are tiny bodybuilders. Except there's 8 bodybuilders in one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's terrifying.
Have you seen the video of like it's at like a zoo and like the gorillas are pissed off at each other and they start fighting and there's somebody in the crowd that's like, it's like, where's the zookeeper? It's like, what the fuck's he gonna do? you think he's gonna go in there?
Did you just Google hairless chimp, Tim?
What?
Yeah, it's terrifying. It's terrifying.
see, I thought Tim was gonna be like, yeah, I can take that.
They're literally nothing but muscle.
Yeah,
yeah. It's all lean. I mean, they're climbing trees all freaking day. Yeah, like, yeah. You know, they're swinging and they're ripping people's faces off when they're not.
Well, we are very lucky that they are like friendly. Like they're a social group. You know what I mean? And so like they see like the companionship that we have. Because at any point they could just get real mad.
And in the old matchup between gorilla versus grizzly bear, gorilla wipes the floor with a grizzly bear. That's like. Easy. I'm just saying.
With a grizzly bear?
I will say it depends. I mean, because I know gorillas, like, I mean, they definitely have the power, but I still wouldn't mess with a bear at all.
No.
I wouldn't mess with either of them.
No.
Because, oh, yeah, there's Tim.
Oh, Tim just shared it to our general. Yep. Yep. That's
it's just pure muscle.
Is that a shaved chimpanzee?
It's just a hairless deformity or something like that, where he loses
his
hair.
As far as body weight goes, chimps have some of the highest bite pressure of anything their size, and they have fangs.
Yeah. They have a lot of fangs.
Honestly, Jake, I think you'd probably see him at the CrossFit gym.
I might. Can you imagine if these animals like worked out? You know, they're already built like this. Like, it's a base. Can you imagine if all of a sudden these things were like trained with that level of like muscle build focus?
I guarantee you they've tried it.
Definitely been people who have like roided up a gorilla or a chimpanzee.
Yeah. I mean, hell, with what we tried to do with dolphins, that's not that far off.
So wait, did anybody say that they think they could take a chimpanzee with a spear?
No.
No, we all agree we could not.
No, chimp fucks
with
you
a spear,
up.
Yeah, I still wouldn't. I mean...
It's not about would you. It's do you think you could? I think with a boar spear, like if you get that first one in on a chimpanzee, you probably have enough strength to keep them off of you.
And that's really the key in these scenarios is like, do I get the first hit?
You get one shot.
Well, with a spear, you're guaranteed to have that first opportunity. And it's like, I feel like a chimpanzee's small enough that a boar spear would do enough damage with one stab. Whereas, like, if I stabbed a bear, it would not. Like, I'd have to stab it many times with a spear. And it wouldn't give me many times. But a chimpanzee might be just small enough that if you get it, you can, like, pin it down, keep it away from you, and it'll bleed out. I don't know. That's just me. I think a chimpanzee is a maybe.
I mean, didn't Leonardo DiCaprio survive a bear attack?
I mean, he got an Oscar for it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess that helps. I mean, yeah, honestly, yeah, it's the whole thing is if you get it, if you hit it right the first time, but it's also one of those things that, you know, you never know what a wild animal's going to do if it's injured. So, it will go on rage mode and it will basically pull barbarian rage and then rip off your face.
Just run at it and deal with the problem, deal with the injuries later. Oh my god! I looked up the movie Revenant. Just I was trying to remember what the name of the movie was, and I scrolled down, and it was like people also search for The Gray, which came out in 2011.
Oh yeah,
with Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
It was a badass movie. But when one of those things that it's just like, yeah, wolves are cool until they need you.
until
they see you as food.
Yeah, that's the issue. Well, it seems your characters, despite having magic and shields and weapons and all that sort of stuff, can't take on these birds.
These birds are tougher than an ice devil.
These birds are tougher than a wizard that can summon demons. So
these birds are tougher than the final boss of book one. And then let that sink in.
Yes, that is true.
Oh my god!
What was the final boss of book one?
Final boss of book one was he was a Charvarkaw. It was the Charvarkaw like prophet.
It was the first dragon priest we found.
Yeah, it was the first dragon priest.
He was a unique one, but yeah, he was essentially a Charvarkaw dragon priest.
Do it like the YouTube videos where you're like facing bosses against each other from a game, and you're like, just I get Dragon Priest versus these guys.
I get sucked in so hard to those because it's always Dark Souls like enemies and bosses.
Yeah.
So at the end of the last episode, these two things realized that they could not get you confused with their warbling song, and so they are just going to go fucking ham. They're going to go bird. They're going to go bird on you guys. So the female, it is her turn at the top of round five here, and she is going to do all three attacks on you, Benson. So, the first attack with the beak is going to be a 32, which I believe is a miss.
Since I do not have my shield raised because I'm dual handing, that is a hit.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
That's how I get you. It's 24 points of piercing.
Gotcha.
Second attack. 36 to hit.
That's it.
34 points of piercing.
Okay.
And the last attack. Just make sure that that's doing that right. Okay. And another 32.
Damn. Yep.
Damn.
Guess who's putting his shield out as soon as he can.
27 points of piercing on the last attack.
Damn. That was a lot of damage.
Yes.
Wait a second.
What?
Liberating step. This is like the first time that you've been in range.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, take 13 points off, and if anyone within 15 feet of me, including myself, wants to take a step, take a dang step.
Next time, do that at the start of the round, so he has to move again to hit me.
I'm a little slow today.
Well, he attacked three times and missed one.
No, all three of them hit.
It would be the first attack that I did it on.
Yeah, so
technically. Think about the chess piece at this point.
Sorry. So you get, I mean, it's still 13 off, so you're still getting
with
that.
Still fine.
So what, you said everybody within 15 gets to take a step?
Not everybody, just allies.
Oh, okay. I mean, no, yeah. I know allies.
Just like my bird's moving to flanking.
All the birds take a step.
Towards Grimshaw.
Yeah, so if that's the case, then Elkwood is going to take a step back.
Okay.
Just because, I mean, you know, gets away from him.
All right.
But I can't remember, is Vemir still confused? No, his confusion ended.
Yeah, his confusion ended.
So I would say, since he's an ally, he can also take a step back, too.
Yes, if you consider Vemir to be an ally, Tim.
Yes, I do. No.
Is that a few, Mark?
I mean, of all the times that Grimshaw's flanked with Vemir.
Yes, I know, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that was that. Benson, are you going to take a step with the... with the reaction?
What do you think? If I take a step back, the other one can't attack me, at least.
That's a good point.
Which one is attacking me, specifically?
So the female, so the one on the right of you, towards the east, that's the one that just hit you three times.
Yeah, I'm just going to step back to here.
All right. Take a little 5-foot step away from the male, who is going to go now.
And then I took a step as well.
Like, we all were just like, oh.
Whoa, yeah, everybody backed up from the birds. Just, what?
There's a fucking bird.
Probably a good idea to make them have to move before hitting.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the male is going to get up, and he is going to do two attacks since he had to move.
Mm-hmm. Take that.
So, Benson, that is a 40 to hit.
Jesus.
God. Yeah.
27 points of piercing.
Great.
Last one is going to be a miss.
Hold on, no. After that attack, Benson falls to the floor dead.
Okay.
To everybody but Benson and Kezra. Because Benson is now invisible, but there is an illusion of his dead body on the ground. As I cast Drop Dead. It's a reaction spell. That leaves an illusory double of yourself on the ground, dead. And you are invisible now, per the normal invisibility spell.
That's actually awesome.
Okay, so the second attack didn't happen then?
Unless it would continue to attack his dead body for some reason, or for some reason believe that attack was so ludicrously weak that it wouldn't kill him.
That's
specifically in the spell, if like you take like... you know, 1 point of damage from, like, you know, getting flicked, and then you die.
Yeah.
The attacker could be like, that doesn't make any sense.
He could go, I don't think so.
No, wait a minute. I just sneezed on him.
No.
Sorry, it just did 40 damage to him, so I think it's reasonable. Yeah. It would think Benson is dead.
They have bird brains.
They do. Yeah, they do have bird brains. They are actually more intelligent than you think, but not that intelligent. Okay, so
they have Harvard shirts on.
Well, no, I say no. Isn't dead.
He's got the Harvard. She's got the Yale. Okay.
Oh, wow.
They constantly fight about it. Who's better?
They're bird lawyers.
Bird law.
Bird law.
Jean, fight them.
Jean comes out and goes, no, this is my fight. I'm not getting involved with bird law. So the last attack, just what, he attacks the ground or something?
Or he can attack Grimshaw.
Okay, then he will attack Grimshaw. How's a... This is with the map. That's with the map, huh? Okay, 40.
Whoa.
That's this a hit. Is Jake going, oh, my rolls are all sucked tonight.
That was 35 points of piercing damage.
Oh my gosh.
Why didn't I have this the last episode? This would have been great.
You're wasting all your time moving and confusing us.
I was trying. That's their whole shtick.
They're kicking the shit out of us.
They're pissed.
The whole shtick. I'll tell you when you roll a knowledge, you'll see why they were trying to do it. Elkwood. It's your turn to roll a recall knowledge.
No.
Damn it.
Okay, so he's going to take an additional... actually where he was, that's fine. It moved up. He's going to fine roll a knowledge check.
There we go.
Loser.
This will be nature.
Nature, there you are. That's a 32.
That is enough to know these are called Kauthoj. C-A-U-T-H-O-O-J. Kauthoj. These are Kauthojes. These large flightless birds are deceptively agile, considering their long bodies and awkward hopping gait. Solitary predators, they use their hypnotic warbling song to drive prey into a wild frenzy, manipulating them into attacking one another so that the Kauthoj can feast on the remains. Yes, known to some scholars as the puppet master bird, and to others as the shrill shrike. Kauthojes are widely reviled by most intelligent humanoids, in part because they seem to prefer humanoids as prey.
Ooh.
So they purposely go after people.
Go after people. They like them. Yeah. I will give you... You already saw the hop dodge. You already saw the warbling song. Do you want to know its other abilities, or it's like... what do you want to know? How about that?
Lowest save...
Yeah, I was thinking, I mean, well, let's
probably
see.
Will.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, at this point, we know their main abilities, unless there's another hidden one, but I don't know. We'll just do lowest save, I guess.
Lowest save, yeah.
Because it helps Kezra out more.
Correct. So, will save is its lowest. And I'll expand on the... I sort of told you what they do in the little blurb there, but I'll expand on that. They have something called... Oh, I'll give you this one for free. They have something called Staccato Strike. With subtle alterations in the pitch of its tone of its song, the Kauthoj directs one creature confused by its warbling song to make a strike. This works like other strikes made by confused creatures, except the Kauthoj chooses the target.
Whoa.
Oh, so it can actually tell people.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The issue here is that if no target is in reach or range, or the other creature is unable to strike for any reason, the ability has no effect. So none of you were next to each other when you were confused, and that's why it never got it off. So anyway, you know that this thing has bad will saves, and you know that it can no longer confuse you guys, so that's why you assume now. That's why it's just trying to peck Benson to death. It did peck Benson to death. You saw that.
Benson!
No! They got him!
Dear Benson.
I knew him well.
He survived the fall from a tower, but not from the beak of this vicious creature.
It's two birds.
Two birds, that's our limit.
Dude, we would have fucked up one bird. If only we had that one stone. Callback.
Guys, we gotta retreat.
Maybe.
So, yeah. Yeah, so he's going to actually take a... He's going to... Damn it. Okay, I can't do that either. But he's going to take a step back here to get out of volley range.
Okay.
And he's going to pull out his bow and let loose an arrow.
All right.
At the male, because that's male, one he's so that, still yeah. working on.
Yep, so that's this one over here on the west.
Okay, that's not bad. That's a 34 to hit.
34, that is a hit.
Okay. Damage. Oh man, the extra 2d8s. 26 points of damage.
Okay.
So that happens, and now the mirror is going to flutter up.
Oh, he's gonna go in for the kill right now.
It's what he does.
Yeah, yeah.
He likes cherry picking here. But he's ooh, roll damage. Come on, hit. Damn it, that's a mess. 29.
With flanking? No, even with flanking, unfortunately not.
Yeah.
Okay. Grimshaw. Benson's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. The Grimshaw just, like, he thought that Benson had more fight left in him, right? So can I roll to disbelieve that he's dead? Because otherwise, my whole turn is different, you know?
Yeah, maybe like we should call out from these spells.
No, the birds might know.
First time I've used it.
Yeah, so exactly.
It's one of my retrained spells.
In the middle of I have a good idea.
In the middle of the fight, Kezra just yells, "Ravioli!" And then Benson falls over.
Ravioli, ravioli, ravioli.
Almost had a spit take.
Okay, but seriously, Kelly, do I have a role that I can make to disbelieve?
Is it one of those things where it's an action to seek or something?
Considering he had been hit a couple of times, and then that was a pretty vicious hit, it's probably reasonable that he could have died?
I was going to say, I'll let you use an action to figure out what you're doing, you know what I mean? Cause,
Here's the thing, though.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have 6 seconds, right?
Right.
I'm not going to spend an action to be like, do I think Benson actually died? You know, like, unless I can literally make an instantaneous judgment, then I'm going to try to heal him and I'm going to strike the bird. So,
yeah,
it's
I'm kind of going with the spell here because, like, the way that it seems is that it's, like, instantaneous. So it's, like, the whole thing is that, like, you know, I mean, you saw these things going after Benson and you know these things hurt. So, like...
Yeah.
There is a part of you that's probably just like, holy shit, these things brought down Benson. Like,
yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
But you could also be like, he had at least 3 more gallons of blood in him.
that's not enough blood.
Yeah, the spell does say that the illusory corpse remains where it fell, complete with a believable fatal wound.
Wow.
Like, okay. It looks like this thing like ripped his throat out.
I got a really, really bad paper cut, guys.
So Grimshaw, like, seeing what he considers to be, like, you know, a role model as far as, like, you know, champions, just literally the one who wears the cloak just fall and die, he just goes and he just raises the Morning Star and, like, smashes against the bird. Nat 20.
Oh my god.
Ooh, baby.
Just needed some motivation.
You need to avenge my brother.
It's like, since Krillin isn't here to die,
Alright, pick your damage type, friend.
Piercing.
Painful poke. The target is stunned 1.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, we'll take it.
Alright.
The bloody one was interesting.
Double damage, though, too.
Yeah. 26 points of damage.
I would like you to please describe your kill, in fact.
Yeah. Nice. So, you know, Grimshaw just, like, literally, once again, said, seeing his role model die, he raises the Morning Star. You see, like, it shines even more brighter with that purpley hue, and it crushes down on this bird, and then you see, like, Grimshaw just get invigorated by the kill as he activates the death drinking, and he looks at the bird, and he's like, "You better run, or you're gonna die where you stand." And so he gets empowered, +1 to attack and damage. And then he's like, "Milani, this better work." And he activates his new tattoo. So he casts a 3rd level heal on Benson, hoping that he is in the throes of death and not actually dead yet. Nothing happens.
It's true.
And Grimshaw's like, "He's dead. He's dead."
And it's just like, "Kezra, we need to work on execution here."
Tactics.
Well, now we know about the spell. Kezra's just trying it out for the first time.
This is not a live demo thing, Kezra.
He's only read about the spell.
So the fun thing that happens as soon as that thing dies, Vamir's going to activate a reaction.
Ooh, okay,
which is Feast on the Fallen. So immediately once it dies, he basically drives his beak down and like bites it in half, because like just think of how big he is compared, and just eats part of this thing and regains 18 hit points.
Nice,
that's awesome.
God dang.
That's
a giant chicken leg.
That's his Feast of Fallen reaction.
Okay. All right, well, Benson, it is your turn. You are alive, invisible, and standing upon the your own corpse.
Yeah. Benson's like, oh, Grimshaw cares. And will I get any bonuses attacking that because I'm invisible?
Yeah, they're off guard.
Yeah, they're off guard right now.
Okay. Benson, just for confusion's sake, he's going to step here.
Okay, so you're stepping to the south of this thing?
Or do I just stand and swing? Well, the first thing I do is I take out my shield.
No, You attack first and then use your second action to take your shield out.
Great point, I love it. But the illusion... Well, you know what, I'll make the attack roll first. By the way, focus point, I'm zealing this.
Oh, there we go.
Nice.
This is an evil creature, I guess. I don't know.
evil has nothing to do with it. I just hit fucking hard.
There we go.
30. I just want you 36.
That is a hit, my friend.
Okay.
No off guard necessary.
So let me pull this up real quick.
It is actually spirit damage, which is cool.
Yes.
977. 23 plus 6, so 29 points of damage.
Ooh. Dang. All right.
Good stuff.
And then in my lax action, I'm pulling out my shield. Yes.
There we go. Okay. So is the illusion of Benson there, and now he's visible? So there's two Bensons?
No, the spell ends when I either don't sustain it or he uses a hostile action.
Oh, okay.
So, the corpse just disappears and Benson is suddenly standing there, hacking this thing to death.
It's a miracle!
So What's going on?
Grimshaw can wipe his eyes.
And it looks like a glitch in the Matrix for Grimshaw. Yeah.
Looks like Grimshaw, Benson 2, electric boogaloo.
No, like, Grimshaw, like, you wouldn't know this, but in his head, he's looking for the flickering light of the Chrono Worm to see if this is some time trickery.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
That he saw an alternate future where Benson died, but here Benson stands, and he's crushing the bird. But he looks down, and he sees the bird that he struck dead, so he's like, what the gods is happening?
What's going on here?
Roll will save.
No, roll a sanity check.
roll a sanity. I'm implementing sanity now. Kezra.
Grimshaw pulls out his Glock.
All right. Kezra is going to. Since one of them died, he's going to. I'm going to step to get in flanking with Benson.
All right.
And I am going to cast this ignition cantrip in melee, so the damage die goes to d6.
Yes.
Cool. Come on. Crappy roll. No. I miss.
Alright.
Ooh, I'm going to miss.
Alright. At that, the female looks at the dismembered body of her mate. And immediately goes stumbling off into to the south to run away. She has a speed of 35 feet, so let me just say.
That's, far.
So 30, 35. She goes bounding off the edge here.
Kezra, hit it from 35. Downtown!
I was gonna say, I feel like two of us could feasibly hit it. And Vamir is a bird that flies. We're killing this bird.
So it is one square away from just being at the edge of the map.
Yeah, but probably won't be able to kill it in time.
I mean, does it look fucked up?
It looks, it's about, I'll tell you, it's at about one third of its total HP.
We don't have to kill it.
Yeah, I was for a second, I was like, I got the cloak.
And I have my cloak.
Kezra will not chase this thing.
Even though
he could probably kill it from this range.
Elkwood, it's your turn.
Okay. Elfwood is going to make a move action to go over here.
All right.
Yes. He can see this thing, hunt prey.
You could definitely see it from there, yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't matter, as long as I see it.
Yep.
And he's just going to take a shot at it. Because this thing harried us pretty badly, actually.
Yes.
Now I'm thinking about it. That is a 36 to hit.
That's a hit.
Damage. Let's go. Ooh. All right, there's double D8s. That's awesome. That is a 35 damage.
Damn. Whoa. All right.
That's actually on all the D8s. So got an 8, 5, 5, and 5. And a 2 and a 6 on the lightning and fire.
Uh-huh.
So, goddamn, that was actually a pretty solid roll.
All right.
And
take another shot? Don't worry about it. Do it.
Jake, I have 4 actions now.
I keep forgetting about that constant haste you have.
Yeah. Vamir's not gonna make it over there. I mean, he has 35 feet of movement, but at the same time, this thing disappears.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this thing runs pretty fast, and also
he had a hard time hitting the damn things too. So he's just gonna eat the rest of the thing that's there.
Wily Coyote will get it.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
So that makes it Grimshaw's turn, right?
It is Grimshaw's turn. Yeah.
I look at Benson. This thing's just gonna keep coming back and feasting on the travelers here. It seems to really like this spot. It'll just bring another lover. We survived because we are trained warriors. But look, shrine to Arastil, well-worn campfires. Leaving this thing alive is a danger to future passerbys. We must kill it. We must.
Go, champ. Go on, champ.
All right, I'm going to interject with 2 things here. Hold on.
Yes.
1, you didn't know that.
Didn't know what?
You didn't know that it specifically targets humanoids. Unless Elkwood told you all that.
Yeah, I told you that okay, in right. 6 seconds okay, as right. I rattled off a paragraph.
He said the entire paragraph in 1 second, like,
I get it.
That was about the thing. I was going to be funny and be like, do you say that in 6 seconds?
Jake, actually, Vamir does a performance check to attract it as a mate.
And she goes, aww.
Performance is plus 0.
Anyway, Grimshaw, what do you do?
2 actions, activate my cloak, and I start chasing.
Alright, how far does that get you now with one move action?
I get 50 feet with 1 move action.
Okay.
So, if you wanna say we chase it down and we kill it, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, and if that is your intention here, you guys have more speed than it, so, and it only had 35 hit points left, so yeah. About 200 feet away, you clock it over the side of the head.
Yeah. And, like, I just, like, Grimshaw just death drank. Like, he had the extra plus 1 to attack and damage for 10 minutes. Like, he's fired up. He's going after it.
Yeah.
And I just see Grimshaw just, like, you know, its body slung around his shoulder. He's just walking back to the campfire.
You got him, buddy? You all right?
So you guys kill these things. Does Vamir eat the one before?
Oh yeah, no, he definitely chows down on this.
One for Vamir, one for
us. We're cooking one of them.
Yeah,
I mean, you gotta think this is a medium sized thing. I mean, you're getting a decent amount of meat off of just one.
I'll expand on these things a bit more since you guys are settling down. So the description here goes on that Sightings of these creatures typically lead to the creation of hunting parties to track the creature down before it can kill again, with would-be hunters typically stuffing their ears full of wax in an effort to avoid being affected by its cry. Those who have survived the creature song reported the experience as uniquely unnerving, and almost all accounts agree there was no other sound as terrible. While one might assume that the Kalthuj is an unintelligent animal, these creatures are smarter than they look. Kalthujs stalk the perimeter of remote settlements in hopes of finding a lone traveler they can feast upon. They can even understand a few rudimentary words in Fae, Although they are incapable of clearly speaking themselves, this doesn't stop the Kalthood from attempting to mimic the sounds it hears. But when it does so, its eerie primal nature enhances the attempt, leading to a bird's signature ability to manipulate minds and encourage conflict, a trait the Kalthood is just barely smart enough to understand and enjoy. So it's a little sadistic as it does this warbling song.
Gosh. Is it considered evil then, or no?
No, it's just a beast. Just a regular animal.
Malicious beast.
Right. Have you seen a cat, like, deal with a mouse?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Yeah, yeah. I once saw my uncle's cat, Mr. Puffers, by the way, was his name. And I got him from school one day, and Mr. Puffers had a mouse, and his foot was stomped on it, and he would let the mouse run a bit and stomp on it again and pull it back to himself. I was like, dude, let it go or eat it, man.
Cats are psychopaths.
Yeah. So you have a large bird, medium-sized bird, categorically, to cook up for the evening. Oh, John Stan, stop.
All right,
let's stopping.
Let's do it on a count. I'll let you know when I'm ready.
Stopping. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, stop. All right, we good?
Yep.
Okay. With your giant chicken... cooking over the fire here. What do you guys do at night besides dress your wounds?
Yeah.
So, Kezra, we're gonna warn us about that little trick.
Well, I didn't know if it was gonna work. It's a new one. But yes. Sorry, Grimshaw. I can. If you take a grave hit, I can turn you invisible.
So that was you then.
Yes, it was me.
I thought it might have been a temporal. Found myself in a temporal loop of some kind.
Rest easy. It was pure magic.
Pure magic. All right.
Yeah, Grimshaw looks. He looks visibly more relieved. He was seeming very perturbed, but thankfully someone else brought it up. He was gonna bring it up.
Yeah.
You're like, did I see what I think I saw?
It's kind of the same. As soon as, like, Kezra starts talking, and Elk's just like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Immediately.
Can I make a suggestion that at the beginning of when they start beating living shit out of me, you could do it next time instead of at the end?
No, I forgot about it the first time.
I like to think Benson's like carving up some of the breast meat, and he's like, I thought it was something temporal, and Benson's like, tempura chick.
Wish I had some panko right now.
Kessler, did you get any panko? Oh, man.
anybody go to the Asian market before we left Skidargo?
We gotta go back.
I just have this. Oh, I have a salt and pepper.
Oh gosh.
Speaking of new toys, Kezra, what's that that you've been wearing on your hand? It doesn't look like your typical dragon claw.
Yeah, something I picked up in Skidargo.
Just picked it up casually, something that has the symbol of Asmodeus emblazoned on it.
Well, I had to pay some gold for it. It's got some good properties. Look, he's like, he makes it, like, have its faint flames on it. It's good. It'll do the trick. Better than the old one. I'm always looking to upgrade.
Guess that kind of
as for the symbol, that just came with the glove.
It's just a
previous
sticker.
Bumper sticker.
Asmodeus doesn't offend me or anything.
I don't have a problem with it.
Benson calls Grimshaw, cool. So I'm like, listen, with Kezra, you gotta just ignore it. if he crosses his line, eventually we'll kill him. But for now...
Does like Jake, like the Silver City, are there Asmodeus worshippers? I can't remember. I didn't think there were. But...
In the Silver City, there's definitely there's people who I would assume that there is, and I can't say for certain, unfortunately, because like it doesn't expand too much on it, but especially after what happened with Hell's Rebels, I imagine it's not very welcome anymore. So the churches might be empty. There might be a Asmodeus isn't so bad Reformation kind of kind of thing, because you know he's the god of deals, you know what I mean? So like, yeah, he's evil, but it's not chaotic evil, you know what I mean? So like, there has to be that fine line. There has to be the apologist of him. I wouldn't say that it's outright banned. I don't think. Get in the comments.
Right. Well, what's the name of the city? Chelyax. He's referred to as the Prince of the Law. Which is technically not true or true.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he's very lawful. It's just that his deals are...
You gotta read the fine print.
Read the fine print. Oh my god.
Yes. Yep.
So if you don't mind me asking, Kezra, she said you picked it up in Kentargo. I'd be quite interested in knowing where you acquired such an item in Kentargo.
Oh, it was just some shady traveling arms and wares. I don't think he was from the town.
Okay. Did you get his name by chance?
I don't converse with, service industry people. I give my money, take my beer, take my shit, and I go. I'm not here to make friends.
I think his name was Jimmy One Eye, because he only had one eye.
And I'm, if I may, I want to roll a perception against your deception. I know you're lying.
gonna say, Timmy, we all know.
Grimshaw's very, very suspicious because, like just based on the information of what he knows of Kentargo. Ooh, man. That's a 35 against your deception, DC.
A crit.
What's that?
It'd be a crit.
Crit. So, Grimshaw's like,
yeah, those traveling merchants. And I forgot how quickly they kind of come and pass through. You were quite fortunate. It seems that item is very powerful. I imagine that whoever parted with it did so at quite the cost.
Fortunately, we had all that gold just ready to be spent. I'm not going to save it anyway.
There it is. I was like, where's our fire at? We're all just kind of sitting around, chatting.
And, it's totally not awkward in the camp right now.
Yeah, it's kind of like that thing, like when you know two people are lying, and you're just kind of like, So, Benson, so sure. How are you feeling?
Sure if they sort that out before I have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Elkwood, I know I'm going to have to kill Kesper. Like, I already know that. Just, we gotta give it time.
No one's gonna kill me.
Kelly's like, I've prepared for every contingency, including the Benson and Grimshaw decide to kill Kezra.
Dude, Kezra is the exact character who would be like Batman, who like makes all the plans, but he's actually stupid and they're all like terrible plans.
Kezra's more of a fly by the seat of his pants kind of guy.
Yeah.
I know. I've ever seen a comic a while ago that Batman was like, yeah, I have a contingency for everybody if they go out the deep end. And then Green Arrow was like, do you have one for me? He was like, I don't need one.
It's my jazz of plans. You never know where it's going to go. Do you have one for me, bro?
Bro.
Yeah. Please.
All right, so we're going to bed, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys go to sleep. I never adjust the horses, so you have to go get them, but it's annoying.
There were horses.
Well, I thought they were rope tied up and all that too. I thought attached them.
And
to
we
trees
made it. We made it clear last session that they are not actually war horses.
Oh,
wait, we did. So you want to skimp out on buying horses?
I thought
horses,
that's what Jake
huh?
ruled since we didn't go over it in the town.
I what whatever horses you
all
guys
right,
want.
They're
I don't
horses.
Care.
You fucking that.
All right.
Yay!
There's sweet
clusters. It's not like I spent money on anything else in the city.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. You guys wake up the next morning. All of your wounds are dressed. You get a nice chicken breakfast. I was gonna say, dude. There's no like eggs around, obviously. But I was gonna say, if you do survival, you could find some.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
People eat ostrich, right?
Yeah.
It tastes like an ostrich.
I imagine so.
It's actually one of the things I want to do is eventually cook an ostrich egg. Because
they're huge?
They're huge. I mean, I love making omelets, so I really want to make an omelet.
That's what you do. You'd make an omelet?
Yeah, probably.
Apparently, ostrich tastes more like beef than it is like poultry, and many appreciate its subtle notes of butter and toasted walnuts.
That is weird.
Oh, that just makes it sound more delicious.
I want to eat it now. Like, yeah, no.
I watched a video of a farmer who raised emus in Australia, and he's like, "Yeah, we're starting to get the infrastructure to farm these for meat."
God, that'd be terrifying if they ever united.
All right,
that's the biggest revenge on the emus.
Is there any place in the DMV that serves ostrich or emu? Because I'm curious now.
Yeah, hit us up. Shout out. All right,
random ostrich guys... restaurant at restaurant ostrich meat restaurant owner that listens to us.
Yeah, dude. All right, you guys get up and you're able to get to White Rock in the afternoon. So White Rock is the only settlement of any consequence on the Silver Road south of Kintargo. It is a pretty small town book says here, a population of about 1,500 people. And as you get into town, you can see that it is clearly very small and mostly residential, as the town center boasts little more than a general store, a farrier, newly renovated Shrine to Desna, a small civic building, and two taverns. That's it.
Two taverns. Ooh.
Two taverns.
They're right across the road from each other, and they yell insults at each other.
You need to give the town the option to choose the good tavern or the bad tavern. Just to mix it up.
That guy only serves Bud Light. We serve Peps.
Like, what? Okay.
As that's the case, one is Miller, one is Bud. Just every
this
time.
Pub serves salsa, this pub serves pico de gallo and says it's salsa.
Yeah,
I saw in the back. It's nothing but the same paste jars. Both sorrows.
It's actually the same owner. He just owns both of them.
Yeah, and owns both. Like that's how you capitalize on a market. You know what I'm saying? So when you guys get in, what do you guys want to do?
Well,
find out which pub is the good one.
So you ask a local.
Yep. Yeah, knowledge society, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Roll for society.
Roll society.
Can you get a good Reuben in this town?
Aru, what's that?
The Reuben situation?
We've left civilization entirely.
I only got 18, so I don't think I'm making a good impression on the locals.
23.
I'll 23. Roll 2. Okay, yeah.
26 for gather information.
Ooh.
I got a 27.
Ooh.
Okay, all right, yeah, those are pretty good. So you get the feeling just sort of as you walk in. The one pub is called The Jealous Rat. And the other one is called... I'm on fantasynamegenerators.com right now. Let's see.
For all your fantasy name generating needs.
And let's do another one for. Let's see. This one says the educated turnip, and you bet you're asking me to use that one.
I'd have been insulted if you didn't.
That's fantastic.
The jealous rat and the educated turnip.
Dude, the educated turnip is so fucking pretentious.
I know, that's definitely like somebody who graduated wizard school and then like came to this town and was like, I'm going to open a pub.
Dude, what's the name of the...
Mixologist.
Yeah, I know, I was about to say, I'm a transmutation wizard, and I transmute cocktails.
All of his spells are just for making drinks.
Oh my god. Yeah, so you get the vibe off of the name, off of each one of them. One of them is a bit dingy. Food is way better. The other one might be a bit more pretentious, but they have quality.
What are we feeling? Are we feeling like greasy home cooking, or are we feeling some pretentious, I don't know, some parsnips or something?
Maybe we should find
an arugula salad.
Maybe we should find a place that'll cook the other 50 pounds of this bird.
we're probably going to the rat then.
That's a good point that we probably... It's a lot of bird.
got a lot of bird on my hands. Can you cook it?
yeah, going to the rat.
Alright, you go to the Jealous Rat, and yeah, it's exactly what you expect with a name like that. Not great quality, but, you know, they cook stuff right on the fire, right in the hearth. So it's homey, you know. So you can tire horses up there, you can pay for the night's rest and stuff like that, but it is early afternoon, so you guys have...
Hit up the barkeep, we're new to this town, and we're here looking for some people, but I was wondering, any rumors floating around the town?
Nah, we mostly get travelers through here. Not much, people don't usually talk much. They are mostly on their way to Kintargo or south to more of Ravenel.
What was the name of the guy we're looking for?
Canton Jaltero.
There's a man named Canton Jaltero wandering here often.
Jaltero. Yes, yes, I know that man. Canton. Good man, he's from the impromptu mayor of this town. He's probably... I think he's still working on his manor. And so he gives you some directions.
Small town again, so if you walk outside, he sort of points down the road, and you can see that there's what looks like a hunting lodge down the way.
He's using children to mine precious metals out of the earth and selling them to Foxconn, so we're here to cancel him.
What? That hasn't been worked in years. Is that what he's doing with it?
Yes, it's horrible.
Oh my god.
I saw Steve Jobs smack a child there.
Oh, there's so many horrible things happening in that place. All right, so you know where his manor is.
It's the only house above two stories.
Probably.
Kezra pipes up before we go anywhere. He's like, "So, what's the deal with the educated turnip? Like, who named the pup the educated turnip?"
He grabs you by your collar. He's like, "Fucking hate that guy." Comes in here trying to own the place with his high quality drinks. Fuck him! And spits on the ground.
Let me guess. He knows how to read.
Ah, can't stand it.
Yeah, I figured that'd be a sore subject for you.
You start noticing that everything in the bar is just pictures. Yeah. There's no words anywhere.
It's just pictures of beer, and they're just colored different shades.
It's literally light, red, lager, greens, IPA, and then there's just one with a skull. You're like, I want that one.
That's the one.
Tell me, my good man, before we leave, might we have your name?
He's a bitch.
He sounds like a Barnaby.
Full name's Barnabas.
All right, Barnabas. Benson
runs.
It's great to make you
runs up the street, grabs a random person. What's your name?
I'm also Barnabas.
Barnabas
Jr. You realize you have that guy's son. It's really weird.
We're actually here from Kintargo. We're conducting a census.
Everybody's name is Barnabas. No one can make a Reuben. This is hell.
Oh my god, hold on. I gotta plug a fucking YouTube channel. There's a guy named Annie Austin on YouTube that he finds out the unemployment rate of towns in video games.
Yes.
It's so fucking good. He walks around towns in Skyrim and Pokemon and like Legend of Zelda or something like that, and he finds out who is working and who is not based on what they're doing, like, while the game is going on. It is so fucking fascinating and also boring at the same time. Yeah. Please check out Annie Austin. He does incredible work. He also roleplays it too, which is funny. He had an episode where he was doing Resident Evil 4, and in that episode, obviously, they try to kill you, and then he's like, so I talked to the office. They said that I could enumerate the unemployment rate, but I had to defend myself if I was attacked, so I guess I'm killing these locals. It's so good. Anyway.
Isn't, like, the unemployment rate of Palatown, like, 90% or something?
There's some funny ones. There's some funny ones. He does, like, a report at the end of it. It's really, really good. Anyway, you guys go talk to Canton Jaltero.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the vibe of this town? They said like mostly like passerbys. Like, do we see like farmers and stuff?
Okay. So it's a lot of farming. It's a lot of that. People do try to trade and stuff like that. But I mean, it's so small that a lot of people just sort of keep to themselves. And with the two taverns, you imagine that they both get quite a bit.
Wait,
of
what was the signature dish for the whatever rat?
Jealous rat.
Just a regular beef stew.
Beef stew.
Yeah.
But we're gonna have to check out the food at the educated turnout.
I'll tell you, I've been watching The Bear. So.
Yes. it's just an off-brand Reuben. It's not really Reuben, but it's like missing the main ingredients.
No, since I've been watching The Bear, he just walks up to you, slaps you, and tells you to fuck off.
Fuck off! Fuck you! Fuck you!
Cousins.
All right. You go talk to Canton Jaltero. So his manor, it looks like an opulent hunting lodge at the northwest side of town. As you approach the hunting lodge here, you can actually see a guy on top of it doing some minor repairs. Looks like he's replacing some of the boards and shingles and stuff like that on top. I will show you a picture of him. Right.
Yeah.
Now.
Whoa.
He is, of course, played by Ewan McGregor.
Oh, he can't be evil.
So he's got kind of like thin, shaggy hair on top, very blonde, and he's got like a really nice like blonde beard.
He looks like Jorah Mormont from Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Yeah, I went with the Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan just because of the blonde, but yeah. So you walk up and he's just steadily just like hammering shingles and pulling off bad parts and throwing them down to the ground.
How are you doing today? Sir Jotun, is it?
He turns around and goes, oh, hello there. Give me a moment. You must be travelers. And he starts like picking up all this stuff and trying to like balance it as he's like making his way to a ladder.
You just wanted to say hello there.
Hello there.
Jensen pulls his sword.
I was waiting for it.
I have the high ground.
Don't try it.
It's okay.
The high ground.
Oh, she does have the high
cloak and teleport. Okay.
There's a chance that they wrote the fact he was working on the rooftop and he looks exactly like Obi-Wan. There's a chance that the Lundines wrote that in there for that reason.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So he makes his way down with all of his tools on his belt, and you can tell he's been working all day. He's got sweat and everything like that. And he's just like, sorry for not meeting you when you walked in. Suppose you're travelers, just coming through town. What exactly can I help you with?
We're coming from Cantago, but we came specifically to meet you. We were involved with one of your properties recently, a mine.
You went to Summershade.
Did we know it had a name? Summershades?
Yeah, we knew
Yes.
We've heard that you weren't involved with the operation that was going on there.
We haven't been working there for decades. It dried up entirely of any resources. So, I do have men stationed there just to make sure that nobody can get in. But we haven't employed any miners in that since the veins all dried up.
Well, first let me introduce myself. I'm Benson Black. We are a group of travelers and problem solvers.
Maybe we should go inside where other people can't possibly hear us, because we have a story to tell you.
Very well. You say you're from Kentucky. Who do you know there that I might be familiar with? And he begins walking you guys into his lodge.
The Long Roads Coffee House.
Tim, you're muted.
I know. I was just talking quietly. I was talking to myself. The Long Roads Coffee person.
Laria.
Laria. We believe you. You know Laria.
Oh, Laria, yes, good woman. She makes a mean cup of joe.
Yes. Is that all that you know about her?
I know that she's a hero of the people. And he's sort of looking at you to see if that's also what you're confirming.
We're having a lie off.
So I'm going to do some Bellflower Network double speak, the little bit that I know, to see if he kind of responds in tow. He's going to say something like,
"A hero of the people, yes, but rumor has it that her work these days goes unappreciated."
Okay, and this is meaning that she's part of the Balfour Network.
Yeah.
You guys are in like his like office, you know, like where he manages the town and stuff like that. And he goes up and closes the door and he goes, "So the Balfour Network is still strong, I see."
Indeed, it is. I confess, I am not a member of the network, but I have many friends who are. Laria was the one who directed us to you. Benson, I think you'd probably sum up what we've experienced best so far.
What do you know about the Cinder Claws?
Cinder Claws? I don't know if I know them. Are they a infamous group of some kind? Oh, I've heard of Dahak. I've read stories before, and you can see he's got like a library, obviously. So he's got some like books on, you know, the gods and everything.
Well, unfortunately, the Cinderclaw cult who worshipped Dahak took control of your mind.
No, the Scarlet Triad.
Scarlet Triad? I thought the Cinderclaws were in charge of that.
Yes. Yes.
Oh no, that was a different Cinderclaws mind. Part.
Yeah. There was only one mind.
Well, then now there's two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so his quarry is the salt quarry that you guys are going to.
Oh.
We took over a gold mine.
Sorry, guys, I'm a bit... that's why I was just
I went through the same thing last episode. I was like, are we talking about a different mine?
Yeah.
or we happen to be in the city where a guy owns a mine halfway across the world?
I was about to say, this guy seems weird that he owns property in the Mwangi.
No, so he owns a salt quarry that is obviously no longer in use, that he says, and so that is 3 days travel from White Rock, and so that is where you know that prisoners have been taken by the Scarlet Triad.
But
the reason why it's weird is because you know that the quarry has not been in use for decades, and you are also very certain because you have intel that they're
all right. Back up. I don't mention Cinder Claws. Yes, the Scarlet Triad has seemed to be holding prisoners inside your mine.
The Scarlet Triad is...
group of slavers.
Oh. Well, good. No, I have men stationed there. That's incredibly...
When's the last time you checked on them?
Well, they work in shifts. From weeks to months at a time, depending. But there was a recent shift change.
How much do you trust them? Would you trust them with your life?
I trust them implicitly. Yes, they're family members of the people here in town. You can tell he's kind of getting like nervous about like hearing this, and then he's kind of thinking like, yeah, maybe I haven't heard anything. You can tell he's sort of like, oh, this is absolutely dreadful. This is true.
There's one of two options. One is that they're dead. The second is that these people you've employed are not who they say they are.
No, they can't possibly be true.
I was in your position recently, where I inexplicably trust someone who I revered. I thought of as a friend and a colleague, and he tried to kill me. He was a part of the same group that now resides in this mine. Their deception knows no bound.
He sort of just sits down and he goes, well, if that were true, then I suppose I couldn't need your help more than this exact moment. He's like, he's sweating more, nervous sweating. He's like, well, if you are here to deal with this problem, then I should tell you about something, too. While it's true we no longer work in the mine, it's not necessarily because the mine was depleted of its resources. It's, well, honestly, it's a bit childish of the reason, but it's haunted in a way, if you believe in this sort of thing.
Do you not believe in the spirits intersecting with our world?
No, I certainly do, and in fact, that's the reason why we stopped. I was afraid of putting my employees in danger anymore, and therefore we simply packed up. We dug into what appears to be some kind of shrine. I know not its purpose, but it is. It has many, many things that curses or something attached to it. So if prisoners are being held there, I can't imagine what they might be dealing with, along with, you said, slavers that are holding them. There was much evil, both in the material realm and perhaps in the spiritual sense, in that mine right now.
Could I do Elk do a perception check just to take note to see if he's like trying to dodge questions? Like you said, he was nervous and stuff. I just want to make sure he's like not more nervous that he's like, oh crap, I didn't realize this, or nervous that like we're questioning him.
Hmm. Yeah. Go ahead and roll perception.
Okay.
Just on the conversation here.
Yeah. 34.
34. Easy. You can read him pretty well. You can tell that he's, one, nervous about all the information you're telling him, but he's also embarrassed about the fact that, like, that he stopped mining because of quote curses.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, so he informs you that they dug into something that they think released some kind of evil curse, and that's why they just dipped. They just got out of the mine entirely.
They dug too deep. They delved too greedily.
For all that salt.
I was hoping you'd be like, oh, we don't mine there anymore. We convert it to a warehouse. It's completely safe. It currently holds our entire town's store of nuclear warheads.
we would never use
them. We just like having them.
Tell me, do you have any old blueprints of the mine? Was it mapped at all?
We do have some simple maps here. I can certainly show them to you. And so he pulls them out, and you can see that this thing is huge.
Hmm.
I'm not going to show it to you, but let me go to let me see. Summershade Quarry. It says granite quarry. It's salt too. Okay.
it's salt now. Okay.
It's salt now. So
salty granite.
Salty granite. Here we are. Have you seen? There we are. Let me see how big this thing is, real quick. You can tell that. Oh my god, I can't even get so far as to. You can tell. The main area that they dug out is 445 feet.
Jesus.
From one side to the other.
Whoa.
Okay.
So it looks like that they just dug out sort of in it. They dug into it. So it's a mountain.
Right.
You know, they dug into it and then dug around. And so it's just this massive thing. And so you can see that there's a bunch of, like, blueprint marks of where they were going to work on next and stuff like that. So you can, this looks like something that they literally just packed up and left.
Mm-hmm.
With the drawings that he has.
Can you show me where you dug into the shrine?
Right over here. And he finds, or he points to a place. Let me see. Where was it? So on the western side of it, it looks like there's a hallway that goes out, and it looks like they were starting to dig there. And he says that when they dug into it, they found something that, what's a good way to describe the shrine that they dug into? They dug into what seemed like some kind of shrine, that had a depiction of a mountain with an anvil at its peak. And it was sort of like, the mummy, when they like open something and there's like the screaming coming out. Yeah. Like that's what happened, was they dug into it and like something came out.
Mountain with an anvil on it. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that thinking, knowledge religion?
Please roll me knowledge religion.
I know me personally, I'm thinking of Torag.
Right. Yeah. That's what came to mind as well. 27.
All right.
28. Take that, Tim.
29, untrained.
Whoa. All of you sort of look at each other as the name Minderhall comes to mind.
Minderhall.
Sick.
Oh, no.
Sick. Does anybody want to expand on Minderhall?
Oh, it's the god of stone giants, right?
Let me get to...
He had a valley once upon a time.
Minderhall's valley.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you also had the forge and all that.
Yes,
yeah.
So, forge.
So Minderhall is the lawful evil giant deity. Yeah. He's the areas of concern are creation, justice, giant strength. He's also called he forged all the giant races. So he's an evil giant god. So he's like the fire giant god, pretty much.
Yeah.
He's all about forging, all about power, all about strength, ferocity, metal, stone, you know, all that kind of stuff.
You did well to pull your men out of there. That place is most certainly cursed with some potent evil. I think, depending on where our adventure takes us, Benson, we might want to purify that place.
I think you're right.
There are old tales talked of a time of peace between the small folk and the giants, but I think that is a fairy tale.
All that I know is that whatever we opened was haunting us, and so we just had to remove ourselves from this.
Is there anything else we need to know about the mine and dangers besides the haunt, or about the journey there? It's a few days, right?
Yes, it's a 3 days journey if you're walking. But as I said, I should have men stationed there, but if they are compromised, I only ask that you bring them in for justice.
Well, don't worry. We have the judge, the jury, and executioner in our party.
He looks at the three names and then the four of you, and he's like, which one of you was being left out here?
It is all in one. And he wears the mantle of the cloak. Do you know not who he is?
No. I'm not familiar.
I am a day's sword. A chosen champion.
You don't have to do this.
Yes, I know of Iomedes.
Performance check.
And his name is Benson Black.
I'd go up and I RKO the mayor.
Grimshaw's just a big fangirl.
Yeah.
Always wanted to meet the Black Cloak.
Yeah. All right, so the you guys fill him in about all this stuff, and he gives you all the information that he can. And you guys have quite the trip ahead of you. He's given you everything that he can. He obviously says that you can sleep in, you know, whatever tavern you want, for your but before you go off on your on your 3-day travel.
We have to know, are you a jealous rat kind of guy or an educated turnip man?
Yeah, what's the deal with the turnip? What's the story there? And what's their signature dish?
I was not sure when he came to town, but he did. I thought that he could bring some sophistication into this group. He's not a huge fan of the locals, but he does make a very, very good dish. We have mostly beef and chicken here, so he's gotten pretty creative with it.
That's a good move for your clientele, hating all of them. Here's your food, you rube.
See your basic chicken and beef? I made it better.
This is chicken cordon bleu, you're welcome.
Which tavern do you recommend for lodging?
Well, the jealous rat usually has very... very comfy beds, good tailor there to make all the quilts and things. I haven't actually slept at the Educated Turnip. I have this, and he points to his marvelous bed.
I was about to say, if you have a house, it would be weird.
But I get a few drinks in me over the jealous rat. I might stay there myself.
Yeah, because it would be, you would hate for you to walk with a couple of drinks in you. 30 yards up to your house.
It's so far. Look at it. I couldn't possibly stumble my way home there. Have you ever tried to walk up this hill? Well, a few whiskeys in you,
he'd be mugged 5 times by the time he got back to his house.
By all the cows, they'd make a mess of you.
Those are some rough cows.
We're gonna go survey the town on which inn and tavern they like better.
Guys, they don't even have a Yelp page for this town. God.
It's not coming up on MapQuest either.
Alright, so you survey the town. You clearly get the idea that some of the locals have turned an eye to the Educated Turnip, while have turned over to the Educated Turnip because they see the quality and class that it's bringing. While others... might pee on the side of the building.
We might have a civil war going on soon.
If we stay the night, Kessler is just going to spend his entire time trying to start shit between the two pubs, and he's just going to like spread rumors, talk about how they piss in their food.
Just write a note, put it on a rock, throw it through the front window from the jealous rat.
I want to start a real turf war. In this town, there can be only one pub.
It started out as taverns, but now it's a legitimate gang war.
All right. Which tavern are you guys sleeping in?
The rat. We sleep with the rats. Yeah, I mean,
sleep with the rats.
All right. So you guys have a good time at the Jealous Rat. It's a good time there. They serve good drinks. They have good beef stew. It's a good time. At some point during...
You said there was a Church of Desna in here, too? Or no?
A recently made... newly renovated Shrine of Desna, sorry.
Oh, a shrine. Okay, so it's not like a building. It's just kind of a...
No.
Thing.
No, it's a little shrine. It's, you know, it's got some, you know, the little shrine with, like, lavender butterflies and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. The storm rolls in. At some point, and you guys realize that it's probably a good time to go to bed. The storm carries on throughout the night, and at a certain point, some of you start waking up to the smell of smoke.
Ooh.
And you can hear panic start to happen.
Oh my God! Oh, get water! Get water!
And you look outside. And you can see that there's a fire starting below you. and the jealous rat. Standing in the street are two Scarlet Triad bruisers, the Scarlet Triad thug, and Malus.
Oh, there it is.
Oh,
knew we were going to have to deal with that guy.
I'll see you guys next time.
Well, the turf war started.
I was going to say, Kesmer's like, man, Kesmer worked real quick.
I was like, you went way too far, Kesmer. Kesmer was down.